if you really want to like understand why some cultures would be at a disadvantage, like you kind of just have to go back in history, because it's really just a whole system.
Like I've been trying to, on like social media, I've been trying to spread a little bit of awareness, even if it's just by commenting on a TikTok.
Welcome back to our third and final episode of the Kids Newsroom COVID-19 edition. I'm Rachel Windreich. Today, we'll be talking about how COVID-19 has impacted our communities. We'll hear from Dr. Nethersole from Boston Children's Hospital, and we'll welcome back Dr. Kufert and Dr. Hannum to answer some questions at the end of the episode. With that said, let's get started.
So my name is Dr. Sherry Nethersole. I'm a pediatrician and also the executive director for community health at Boston Children's Hospital.
So, Dr. Nethersole, the pandemic has affected everyone, but it's impacted some more than others. Why is that?
Part of it is about where you live, you know, what type of job you have, whether you have the ability or the luxury of being able to work from home versus not, in someone who has to go in and do their work, and that includes healthcare workers, you know, being able to say that a lot of people, because of the fact that so many things were shut down, you know, have lost their jobs, they're not able to support their family, they feel badly about that. This pandemic has had a lot of impact in ways you may not be able to see. It's beyond just the number of people who have gotten sick, who have been, you know, hospitalized, but it's also about these other impacts that it's had on people's lives.
Many of us know someone who's been negatively impacted by the pandemic. How might kids get more involved to help their communities during this time?
There are small things that people can do within their own neighborhood or community that aren't about changing the world, and you don't have to change the world. So not to say, oh, I've got to fix this entire problem, but just like, what about this one little problem I see in front of me? And it might be you volunteer to work at the food pantry, you know, one day a month for the next year, or you know, you help to do a food drive in your community.
While you think about how you can help your own community, let's hear from some amazing kids who are taking action and making their mark.
My name is Ty. I'm 11 years old. I was born in Berkeley. It's not really helping the community, but it makes COVID feel a little bit better. I was writing like jokes on the sidewalk with chalk. So if people were just walking by, they could just read them.
I take Girl Scouts. And as a community, we have been making something called Plarn, which is basically plastic that you make into like this yarn type of thing. You basically cut it out and you weave it together, and it makes plastic yarn. So then we were weaving it together. We kept weaving the plastic, and now it formed a mat that homeless people can sleep on, and they can be happy.
So I take part in this program called Aaron's Presence, and it's basically we help in the community, so like outside of like Lawrence and inside of Lawrence. And so I joined a project where we were making kits for homeless people, and we decided on making hats for them. So that's where I developed the knitting habit.
I always, like whenever I meet with like people younger than me or even people older than me, I always tell them to like voice their opinions like as much as they can. Like even if like you're scared or like if you're not too sure, at least voice your opinion, because then it's put out into the world and somebody obviously people can help you expand on your idea and turn it into something that could be like very big and important. Like I always like try to tell people like always like have your voice and like voice stuff that in your community that you wish to like fix. Like if you think in your community like you want more diversity or if you want to talk more about social justice in your community, always speak out about that, because like you always have the chance and nobody could truly stop you. And only if one person hears it, that may help that one person hears it from you. So like I always think that's a positive thing.
it's time for our final round of questions.
When is this going to be over?
I would say, when will it end?
When do you think COVID-19 will end?
So I'm Dr. Yael Kufert. I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist, and I work at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. Yes, that's a great question that everyone is asking, everyone. The honest answer is we don't know for sure, but even though there are no guarantees, we are hopeful that things are going to get better over the next few months. As the vaccines are rolling out and, you know, more people get them, we are hoping to be able to block the virus from spreading. And when we have enough people vaccinated, then we can start thinking about going back to what life looked like before the pandemic. It's been a year since the beginning of the pandemic, and I know everyone is so tired and can't wait to get back to normal life, but we have to push through. We have to stay careful for a little longer. So I think it's going to be a process, and it's not going to happen overnight, but I really am optimistic that over the next few months, we will take more and more steps towards some version of life as we knew it.
My name is Justin. I'm 13. If you were to do anything different before, when the first case came to America, or if you were in charge of basically the country, what would you make everyone do before it got out of hand like it is right now?
So I am Chaz Hannum. My full name, I guess, is Charles Hannum. I am a pediatrician. I have an MD degree, and I work at Tufts Children's Hospital here in Boston. I think if I was, you know, in the role of president, I probably would have made a lot more recommendations for all of the states to follow, would probably have been a little bit more forceful in making sure that people were wearing masks. And there were a lot of places that you didn't have to wear a mask for a very long time, some places where you still don't have to wear masks. And so, you know, we know what helps prevent the spread of coronavirus. And so, you know, kind of really enforcing those with, you know, public transportation, probably limiting, you know, travel between, you know, state to state. I don't think it's a coincidence that we saw a big spike in the wintertime when people were traveling for Thanksgiving and for Christmas and for New Year's and those holidays. And so I think, you know, putting some more strict travel restrictions initially, and then also just making sure that everybody knew and was on board and understanding the importance of wearing masks and doing good hand hygiene and social distancing. I think that message could have been sent a lot more, with a lot more force or gusto, so to speak.
Remember, there are so many ways you can help your community. Get your friends and family involved. Your small act of service could grow into something even bigger. As we look forward to post-pandemic life, there's still a lot of work to be done. Who knows how long we'll feel the effects of the pandemic for? It's important to check in with your friends, parents, and neighbors so you can all be there for each other. Before we sign off, here's a final message from our friend, Dr. Cantor.
My name is Joanne Cantor. I am Professor Emerita of Communication Arts at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. But I'm encouraged by the fact that a lot of things are going in the right direction. And I also think that kids are resilient if we let them be. And so it's important for the family to stick together, do fun things that are not associated with COVID.
Music by Rachel Sherland in association with Tufts University.